Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Glad to have you along the way today. Well, we've got a special treat for you. We're going to devote this whole show talking to a special man of God who's got some amazing music and I think even a more amazing heart for the Lord, Mike Donaghy. He's the lead singer of 10th Avenue North. We're going to spend this next hour just hearing from him, his heart. We're going to play some of his songs, and we might even have some treats to give away, but you'll have to get him through the email today. We're not taking any live calls. My email is Susie@myfaithradio.com. So if you just feel inspired as you listen on, email me and we'll see what we can get to you from our Faith Radio shelf. I don't want to waste another moment. Let me tell you about him and we'll get him on the show. Well, along with being a devoted husband and father, Mike Donaghy is the lead singer of 10th Avenue North. He's well known for songs like Hold My Heart, Where the Healing Begins, and By Your Side. He currently lives in Nashville, Tennessee with his wife, Kelly, and his three beautiful daughters. You can find him on the web at 10thavenuenorth.com. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the conversation. Well, we love to ask a couple of questions when we have guests on. So one of the questions we'd like to start out with is just the Word of God. Is there a verse that God maybe has been speaking to you about these days?
Well, kind of just read every morning until one hits me. And the one that hit me this morning, I'm reading through Mark, and it talks about the seeds that get thrown out, and one dies when the sun comes out. And the thing that really hit me was the one that gets choked out by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And what's interesting, it says it will be unfruitful. And I think sometimes it doesn't say that it's going to die. Like that sounds like someone who's saved and just, but they don't bear any fruit because they're just worried about the wrong things. So kind of challenging word for myself this morning.
Wow, that's exactly the passage that I've been meditating on the last few weeks, just thinking about that. And it ties with one in I think it's 1 Corinthians where it talks about that some will make it through the fire but with nothing to show for it. That it is possible to live saved but not live a fruitful life. And because so many of the issues that we live in choke out our life. And so it's so important to be looking at the opportunities God gives us and how important stewardship is. And, well, if you don't mind, Mike, I'd love for you just to give us a little backstory on your faith journey.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, went to Christian school. So I knew I needed a Savior when I was, you know, very young. And that made a lot of sense to me. I had a lot of spankings as a child. So I knew that I was bad and I needed saving. But it didn't feel like God became my Lord, really, until my senior year of high school. Beginning of the year, I got in a bad car accident and broke my back and broke my head. And they actually said I'd never walk again.
Wow.
And it was laying on my back for 2 months that I actually first asked for a guitar. And so literally a song rose from the ashes of my broken life, as we later wrote in the song. But it was during that time that really, like, things got real. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, okay, like, life is short, and God has me alive for a reason. And so as I went into college, that's where I would say God really actually became my treasure. Just sitting out and worshiping with kids in college who could have been out partying, could have been out getting into all kinds of trouble, and they preferred being with Jesus. At first, I thought, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you guys want to go party? You know, we're missing out here. And as I started just worshiping with these kids, like a bunch of hippies sitting outside in the grass in South Florida, that's when God not only was my Savior, was also my Lord, and was also my treasure. So
wow.
That's
great
kind
story.
Of
wow.
My story in a nutshell.
So often you even look through Scripture, Mike, or you hear from people that whom God uses greatly. He does seem to meet them in their places of obscurity. And but we do have the choice whether or not to respond. And you responded. And I was thinking as I was watching some of your video journals last night, You're an old soul in a young man's body. And I said that to Matt Maher when he was in studio once as well, that there are just some young folks out there that are doing great things for God. But I can tell you're grounded in the Word, and you have a wisdom. I don't hope this doesn't sound insulting age-wise, but that seems beyond your years. Have you heard that before?
Well, part of that's just because I got a young face, because I moisturize.
Oh, that's good. You suddenly made me feel so much better about myself. I love it.
Yeah,
Perfect answer.
I am a little older than most people think.
Okay.
But,
can you tell me? I'm sorry.
I'm 34 now.
Okay.
Which you know, isn't terribly old, but not terribly
young. You do look 12. But no, 34, you still are an old soul in a young man's body. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, technically I'm older than Jesus was.
That's really good. I have to recover because I got to keep going here. Okay, so tell us how you got hooked up with 10th Avenue North.
Yeah.
Or did you start the band? I don't even know that story.
Yeah. My freshman year of college, I was just starting to play guitar and worship with these kids on my campus. And a buddy of mine played drums, and a friend of ours said, hey, you guys should jam together. And we just started playing coffee houses and battle of the bands things at school. But then the next year we got asked to lead worship at this church, and that's really what kind of started the band. We were playing every week for these high school students, and we just kept going.
Wow.
And started playing camps in the summer, and then started to play shows, and here we are 15 years later, still
going.
Wow,
that is amazing. Well, God bless you, and congratulations on such phenomenal success. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your newest album, Cathedrals. Love the title, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, as we've traveled around the country and been to a lot of churches, it seems that there's this misconception that the spiritual people and the people God's using are the people up on stage on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you're a pastor or a worship leader or a missionary, then you're doing God's work. And all the rest of you, you just got to go work and make money so you can fund the real spiritual people. Mm. But throughout the New Testament, we're told that we, the body of Christ, are being built together into a living temple of Christ's body, which means we don't go to cathedrals where God's presence is. We are his cathedrals, where his presence lives. And as we go out into the earth, we bring the presence of God with us. So whether you're a barista at Starbucks or you're a pastor at a church, everywhere you go, you make that place sacred when you walk through the door and bring the Spirit of God with you.
I could not agree with you more. And the reason that matters so much is so that we can each be mobilized in our sphere of influence to steward what God has given us. And you know, there was a real wave, I want to say, I think it was in the 80s, where that mindset you're talking about was so prevalent. And I'm glad to hear that it's sort of making a comeback that, you know, we need Christians in the marketplace. We need Christians in the education sphere. You know, we need gospel kingdom people everywhere. And so to look at that, what's in my hand and how can I steward it, is just, wow, such a powerful thing. Is there anything else you want to say about the song Cathedrals before we listen to the song?
Yeah, there's a refrain in it that basically says, joy takes temptation's place. Mm. And this was a big centering part of the song that I wish when I was growing up, I realized that taste and see the Lord is good is a command. Mm. It's not optional. And a lot of people are trying to be good Christians and fight temptation, but aren't pursuing delight in the Lord. And so I just want to, you know, encourage anyone who's listening, if you're God's child, he wants you to experience him in a way that you actually get joy from his presence, so that temptation isn't something you necessarily have to fight, but it's something that's pushed out as his presence fills you.
What you just said to me, I think, could be a game changer for somebody listening today, to move from just battling issues and temptations to delighting and God and knowing he delights in you. I mean, that's a whole nother level to me of abundant life, of fruitful life, of joy. Let's listen into this amazing song, Cathedrals.
part of what we've done. We are the spirit's dwelling place. And now, children of the light, fight back darkness with delight. Lift your eyes up to his face. Let joy take temptation's place. We fall in love.
Excellent song. Excellent song, Mike. Thank you so much. We only have you for a short time, and on the other half of the show, we're going to be playing some of your video journals. I want you to have a chance to comment on those as well. But tell us about the song, We Won't Numb the Pain. Another really important and powerful song.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting statement. We won't numb the pain, because pain is often seen as such a negative. But there's this verse in Corinthians where Paul talks about as we find comfort in the Holy Spirit, when he comforts us in our struggles and in our pain, that we in turn are able to minister to others who struggle with the same thing. And it seems like in my own life and in a lot of people I talk to, we're not willing to feel the pain necessary to wait for the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But instead, we distract ourselves with triviality and entertainment, just kind of jumping from distraction to distraction to distraction to kind of just keep the pain at bay. And I remember when my wife and I, before we got married, we broke up, and I was so devastated. But for the first time in my life, I didn't just run to a distraction. I would drive my car to this field every night around sunset, and I would sit on top of the roof, and I would just cry my face off. And I would just listen to worship music and cry. And it was one of the first times I actually felt what Paul was talking about in Corinthians, where I felt comforted by the supernatural comfort that comes from the Spirit. But in order to do so, I had to be intent on the cure and not just medicating it with more distraction.
And don't you think, you know, I say this often, that when those things come up, those are actually opportunities, as you say, to experience God. And so when we do numb the pain, we short-circuit our spiritual growth, and we completely miss an opportunity to encounter the supernatural presence of God. I mean, we don't even realize how much we are missing out in those opportunities in those moments, you know?
Yeah, I mean, athletes understand this, and it's why Paul actually refers a lot to athletic training when he talks about spiritual life. Like, you know, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. And like, an athlete understands that in order to gain muscle, they have to push the muscle beyond what it can take. And a lot of – that's the exact same thing in our spiritual life. Like, God says, hey, unless I get you outside of your comfort zone – you're never going to experience me.
But taking paths of least resistance and never feel our soul's persistence. Turn on the radio, we don't want to know. Keep on running in cruise control. Let me get a taste of your sweetness. Give me one glimpse of your lovely light. Lord, be my joy, treasure, my delight. Let me have a sense of your presence. May I trust your mercy all my life. I just wanna be a fire burning in the night. Fire, 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 fire. Fire in my heart, fire in my soul. May the fire of your love burn away control. My heart, 'cause I don't wanna steal or give in to my lust just to feel. Fire, fire, fire.
Well, you have a song called Struggle, and you sing this line that I know that's not in this album, but I want to ask you just about it. You say, "Hallelujah, we are free to struggle. We're not struggling to be free." I want you to unpack that for us, if you would.
Yeah, it's basically my summation of Romans 1 through 6. At the end of Romans 5 and Romans 6, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" In other words, he's saying, if you understood this gospel correctly, you understand that you are free to screw up. It's amazing. Mm. The grace of God says it will be here when you fail. But then he turns, and in Romans 6, he goes, but that doesn't mean you have to fail. The great news of the gospel is now, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, now you don't have to struggle either. So though you're free to struggle and free to screw up, you also don't have to. Because God's Spirit lives in you, you're free to change. Hmm. So that's a way to summarize free to struggle, not struggling to be free. Another way to say it is we're free to fail, but we're also free to change.
Yeah.
Mike Donahue of 10th Avenue North after this. Today with Mike Donahue. He's lead singer of 10th Avenue North. And if you want to just have some video devotionals, go online and look up some of his video journals, because they're just rich theologically and just beautiful to watch. And there's just great insight there. And Mike, one of your video journals, you talked about how we tend to take the supernatural out of the salvation and gospel process, and that God doesn't actually quote unquote need us, but he does invite us to trust him and share what he's done in our lives. And I want you to just talk for a moment, if you would, about how that insight lifted a weight from your shoulders.
Yeah, it's funny when you listen to some people tell their testimony, they're almost ashamed of it. Like, yeah, I don't really have an interesting testimony because I grew up in the church. And then what happened? Well, God supernaturally opened my eyes from a dead place to see that he is beautiful and is all surpassing worth and gave me eternal life to live with him forever. That's amazing. Right.
Exactly.
But I was never addicted to drugs. I was never, the leader of a gang. And I always want to go, no. Romans 5 says the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which means whether you have a quote unquote interesting testimony or not, it's always supernatural. You didn't do it. And so no matter what background you come from, we can celebrate just as enthusiastically that God opens your eyes to see who he is. Mm-hmm. And so now God's not sitting going, now I need you to do something for me. I need you to come through for me. Acts 17 says God's not served by men's hands as if he needed anything. God just wants us,
Yeah.
He's inviting us into, okay, now that I poured my love into your heart, just live like it. That's really kind of the summation of the Christian life. Isn't, oh, we got to go do all this stuff for God. It's, we just need to live like we're loved by God.
Exactly.
Because when you live loved, you love him back.
Indeed, indeed. This is excellent. In fact, you can find this video on YouTube. It's called Live Loved. Let's listen in right now.
We were doing a camp this past summer, and the speaker was a pastor from Indiana, we'll say that. And I loved it. He boiled everything down to this one phrase. He said, live loved. Live loved. He went on to argue, and I agree with him, that any fears, doubts, pride, guilt, all the things that plague us, the sin, as Hebrews 12 calls it, that so easily entangles us, it always, if you trace it back, you can find a line that goes back to a disbelief that God loves you. So how does that work? You go, well, let's say someone wrongs you, right? And you want to hold a grudge because it feels so good, right? I mean, everything we do because we think it's going to give us pleasure. Blaise Pascal argued that, and I agree with him. And then God comes along, he says, No, you need to forgive them. Turn your cheek, 70 times 7. Let's say I'm very promiscuous youth, right? And I hear God come and say, do not commit sexual immorality. Flee it. Don't have sex until you're married. If I don't believe that God loves me, what I hear is, I'm trying to ruin your good time. Stop having a good time. But if I believe that God loves me, I hear, I love you, I want what's best for you. I'm protecting you from yourself. It changes things. It also changes my guilt when I've screwed up and I've fallen. I hear God say, this is how you know what love is, that while you were still sinners, I died for you. It means if I'm not loving God, I'm not performing at a level that I feel like I should. I don't need to try harder and do better and lift myself up by my bootstraps and be all I can be. What I need to do is look back to the cross, because 1 John says we love because he first loved us. So if you're not loving him well, you don't need to try harder. You need to believe that he loves you more. And how do you do that? You keep gazing on Jesus. Because Jesus says, you're so bad I had to die for you. And that humbles you out of however proud you think you are or should be. It robs you of your right to be proud. But it also says, Tim Keller's a pastor in New York, he explains this well. He says, it also says that I'm so loved that Jesus was glad to die for me. And that, my friends, it lifts us up out of our fear. It lifts us up out of our failure. And it robs us of our right to be depressed and wallow in our guilt. Could you imagine giving up fear, giving up pride, giving up guilt, changing over those motivations for new ones of love and gratitude? We love. Why? Not to gain the love of God, but because he has already and does love us. Live loved.
Having a powerful conversation today with Mike Donahue of 10th Avenue North. In fact, this whole show is dedicated to Artist Corner today. Second hour, we'll hear from Chris Tomlin and one of the band members of Ren Collective. Okay, Mike, tell us about the song Closer. We're going to play that song in just a moment, but I'd love to hear any backstory and thoughts on that song.
Closer started around the prayer that I hear people pray all the time. God, be near to us. God, draw near. And sometimes I feel like people are praying, God, you're not here, so I need you to come close. But A.W. Tozer, a great theologian, he made a distinction. He said, when we pray for God to come near, we're praying for him to come near not in approximation. So we're not asking him to come near geographically. We're asking him to come near in our awareness of him. Mm-hmm. So when I say, God, closer, closer, it's basically me saying, God, help me see how close you are.
Exactly.
Open up my spiritual eyes that you are here and that there's nothing to be afraid of. Because you said, more than any other command in the Bible, do not be afraid. So, God, come near, push out the fear.
Come near, push out the fear. And just, Lord, increase our capacity to know that you're near, to know your love, so we can walk in it, you know? All right, let's listen into this great song, Closer.
In this moment.
am a cyclist, and so I'm always looking for songs, and that's a sprint on the flats right there, that song. I love it. Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, man. Yeah, thanks for taking the time to listen.
Yeah, oh, so good. Talk about, if you would, we just have a few minutes left with you. You know, enemy hates it when we're stepping out like that, and what kind of battles do you face? How does he come against you opposition-wise? And how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord to stand and keep pressing forward?
Yeah, I think maybe the hardest thing for me as an artist, there's so many awesome artists and so many great songs and so much great, you know, music being put out in the world. It's tough to feel like what you do matters. There's always going to be, as much as people think, oh, you get up on stage and people applaud you, that's true. But on the other side, there's always people who just rail you and talk about how they don't like your music and you get bad reviews. And God really challenged me in this lately by a friend referring to in the Old Testament when God tells David, King David, not to take a census. They're going to go into battle, and David wants to know how many soldiers he has. And my friend was kind of talking about something else, but I really heard that from the Lord going, Mike, you can't base how important what you do is based on how big it is, which is very hard, especially growing up in a capitalistic culture that says sales are everything.
Yep.
And so when you can really embrace that, you know what, Jesus only had 12 followers. And they all left him, you know, but one. Like, it helps you go, you know what? As Mother Teresa said, it's not about doing great things for God. It's about doing very small things with great love.
And doesn't that just keep you grounded? I'm an author, so the same thing happens. I remember seeing it was like a 1 or 2 star review on Amazon, and when I read a little closer, she was mad because the book came in a ripped package or something. I don't know what happened. But then there was somebody else. You know, I'm grateful for the great reviews, but then there's somebody, you know, who thought I meant something when I wrote something. I was coming from a totally different heart, and I thought this could turn into whack-a-mole if you try to, you know what I mean, explain yourself. And so it really has to be an offering where you trust God and not rely so heavily on what people say, but that it's tricky, like you say, in a capitalistic culture, a results-driven culture, to keep it as a pure offering before him and just entrust your whole soul to him, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough to embrace the wastefulness of grace.
Yeah.
We played a song at a concert last year. It was a new song that we were trying out, and we just played back in that same area a couple months ago. It was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I think. And this girl, we had a Q&A, she raised her hand, she says, hey, this song you played last year, it's not on your new record. And I want you to know that song really spoke to me. It changed the course of my life. I decided to go to a different college because of it. Mm. I, like, changed my major, all this stuff. And she goes, I can't believe it's not on the record. And I looked at her and I just said, well, have you considered that maybe God just had us write it for you for that time? And it's not like our culture doesn't say that. It says, No, if it's good, it needs to go to the most amount of people. And I'm like, no, man, God's so wasteful with his grace that he's totally okay having me labor over a song for one person. No.
Such a good word. Okay, Mike, tell us about the song No Man Is an Island, that song and the video journal, because we'll be playing that one in a moment as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, great quote from John Donne's poem that no man is an island. In other words, you know, we're not meant to be alone. And we believe that as Christians because our God is not an island. Our God is a community. So it's no surprise that God calls us into community, especially with people who are difficult to love. It's almost like he's saying, hey, you want to learn to love like me? Okay, I'm going to make you be in community with people who are tough to love because I loved you when you were tough to love.
Yeah.
And I still love you when you're tough to love. And so it's just the communal heart of God drawing us to become more like him, which is being in community.
And aren't we just refined in those places, but we're also shored up and built up because, you know, eventually some of those people actually become safe places and sources of strength. And we all go through different seasons where you just need people around you, you know?
Exactly right.
The Spirit hovered over the waters. God said, let there be light. And on the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. From the beginning of time, God wants us to know something. He wants us to know that He is a community and that He made us in the image of a community. Church fathers have called it the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one essence. Kind of like the sun, right? Star itself is the Father. The light we see is Jesus. And the warmth, the effect, is the Holy Spirit. Why does that matter, right? Well, it's incredibly encouraging. If God were only one, then you wouldn't really know if He was loving or not. I mean, He could love, but He would have to make something first. But if God, for all eternity, existed as a perfect relationship, well, then we know love is at the very essence of who He is. It's His nature. And He didn't make us because He was lonely. He made us as an overflow of the beauty of this relationship that He always had within Himself. And making us, He's kind of like, come be a part of this party, you know? And what I love is not only that, He doesn't just call us to a relationship with that community. You know, He calls us into a relationship with His body, the church. And there's a lot of people, they don't like that. It's like, I'm not in a relationship with Him. I ain't in a relationship with her. Jesus is my homeboy. That's all I need. No. We need each other because... well, for a lot of reasons, but namely, how else are we ever going to love like God unless we're forced to love people who don't deserve it? God loves us undeservingly, and then He invites us to love in the same way and to love the people right in front of us. As John Donne said, no man is an island. And I know it can be easier out there on your island. It can be easier just living in your shame. It can be easier living in your excuses. It can be easier just living for yourself. But if we want to participate in the divine, then we need to come off our islands and come back to the shore.
I won't run, I will stay. I'm not leaving you. I know there's friction here. The struggle makes us new. I wish you never thought you had to go. Wish you never thought you had to leave. Together we can lift each other up. We can build a shelter for the weak. No man.
Let's reach out to something higher. Ain't no life outside each other.
We are not alone.
Through trouble or rain or fire, let's reach out to something higher. Eyes open to one another.
We are not alone.
Through trouble or rain or fire, let's reach out to something higher. Ain't no life outside each other.
Is there anything else before we leave, and ways that we can be praying for you as you balance life as a husband, a father of three darling girls, and a ministry that takes you all over the place? How can we be praying for you?
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. I think it's 1 Timothy. We're told a man who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. But then you have Jesus on the flip side saying, if you don't hate your own family compared to loving me, you're not worthy of following me. So we're in this tension, right, of like wanting to forsake all and do whatever we can for the kingdom, but also we're told that I believe our family needs to be above our ministry.
Yeah.
Not above our love for the Lord, but definitely above our work for the Lord. And so just constantly putting that in tension and keeping it in balance and really listening to where God wants us to go, even if it means maybe calling it quits because He has something else for us. Holding our career and our work for the Lord with open hands.
Mike, do you ever find yourself, I do this as someone who's on the road writing, speaking, and doing radio, every once in a while I just sense that God wants me to put it all on the table, give it all back to Him, and just for my heart's sake to say, you get to decide how the next season goes. And I can't, it's always so scary because I realize how much I just love these things that He's given me to do. But it's always so powerful when I say, but nothing compares to you. Do you catch yourself doing that? Or are you just sort of put in positions to do that sometimes? How does that work out for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think a really important question God's been asking me is to stop asking what His will for my life is. And start asking what His life for my will is.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not so much about me going and accomplishing stuff. God's much less interested in my accomplishments and my successes. He's much more interested in the posture of my heart.
Couldn't have said it better. Well, as we wrap up here, I'm wondering if I could just ask you to pray for our listeners, that each of us could do just what you're saying, that we could live loved, that we could live in community, that we could know that we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so that we know the powers of Him, but that we really could be mobilized to live out this life in a way that makes the lost thirsty and hungry for Him. Would you pray?
Yeah. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us. Father, you said the command is wrapped up in loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving each other. God, we only love you because you first loved us. So as Paul prayed for the church in Philippians, may anyone listening, may they just know the height, depth, length, and width of your love. May they just know the love that surpasses knowledge. May they, as Paul said in Philippians 4, may they learn the secret of having joy, whether they have much or have little, because your love is better than anything we can have on this earth, God. Mm-hmm. So, God, may we learn that secret. May we be content in you no matter what comes our way. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, you are a dear brother, Mike, and I can't thank you enough for the time. I know you're a busy guy. Bless you for sharing your heart with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'll be praying for you in the days ahead.
All right. I can always use it. That's
okay.
For sure.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
You are closer, closer. You are closer, closer. Come on, closer than my fear. You are closer, closer. You are closer, closer. Come on, let me know you're near. And push away my fear. Push away.
Don't go away. We've got more of Live the Promise up next, hour two.